And we'll talk to you next week.
Loving
is what I got. So remember that.
Love is what I got.
And stop.
Life is too short, so love the one you get. Sorry.
Because you might get run over, or you might get shot.
Static vest. Static, get it off my chest.
Bulletproof vest.
Take a song, Kimball, take a titty dip from me. Take a money, give it up to charity. Love's what I got. It's within my
reach. It's within my reach.
Sublime styles come straight from Long Beach.
Damn it, damn it, gotta get what you deserve. We should totally have done the fucking St. Troll 3 joints over. Because that's so true, actually. Now that when you listen to it, there's parts where they're like, nah, 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 what I got. That's so good.
Oh, shit. I can't stop laughing.
Good times. Good friends laughing, enjoying a moment.
That's fucking bumper. That's like end of show worthy right there. Perfect.
Oh my goodness. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 224. My name is Chris Furcio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
Hello! What up, guys? Oh, I almost fucked up. That would have been like 200 and something, just gone down the toilet. Have to get rid of all of them.
Did you want to restart?
No,
and
that's
Travis Baum.
I still got it in there.
That's what she said. Hey, it's me!
Hey!
At
she
the
got
same
it in
time,
there. That's
in stereo.
Scary, actually.
That's right.
Today we are talking about game endings, and if they have, and we're going to spoil the shit out of some games. For, no, we're just kidding.
No,
about if a game's ending has actually manipulated the way we felt about a game, kind of sort of. So we're going to talk about that. Before that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and after we will do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week.
Nice.
What's up, Travis?
Dude. I'm pretty good. Megan and I went and saw that Hunger Games joint. That wasn't
I saw
too
that.
Bad, man. That wasn't bad.
I saw it on Sunday. Crystal and I went and saw it. Dropped the kid off with Grandma and took off. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Really, really good. It was more. I thought they were gonna be more candid with the violence. It was a little more bloodier than I expected it to be. You know, it
really?
Being a PG-13 movie.
I've heard they've like cut away from a lot of stuff.
And they did, kind of. I mean, I think Travis, I think you're you might be expecting less than what's there. I mean, the amount of blood that they showed in this film is no more than I would say. It's less than I would. Well,
I mean,
it's about the same as I would say you would see on TV.
Right. I mean, well, this movie is pretty interesting too because, like, you know, it's getting like almost, you know, Twilight fanfare. But it's
Blah.
but the material itself is so much more alluring to, you know, to guys, basically.
To
it's
real people.
To real people. and it is, I mean, especially when you read the books, it's kind of disturbing because, you know, these are kids slaughtering each other. And in the movie, you know, they show very, very young people with, like, you know, spears
getting killed,
get like stuck through their stomach. I mean, it's, you know, they for a PG-13, they don't hold back. I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, apparently this is it's like the Running Man influenced an anime called Battle Royale, which
Battle
influenced
Royale,
this story.
Yeah.
So, I saw it. Crystal's read all the books, and she said she was actually pretty impressed with how well they translated over.
I was too. Yeah.
I'm actually in the process of reading the first book
Very
after
nice.
Seeing the movie.
Nice.
So
they're easy reads, man. With there being young adult books, I mean, it's like maybe they average around 300 to 350 pages. But
the first one's like 260 something.
The other ones are a little bit bigger, but they're all double spaced, so it's a really quick read.
Oh,
so,
are they? I'm not. I'm doing it on a Nook. So
you're on the
not,
Nook. Okay. Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's you know. Quick read or not, I mean, I just, when I saw the movie, I was intrigued enough to say, hey, I would like to read that book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Lord of the Rings. I've always wanted to go back and read the Lord of the Rings books, but I've just never done it.
Those are tough to read, though. Those are some really, really they're time sinks.
Yeah.
Very similar to, like, Game of Thrones. It is a lot of description, and, like, they take pages and pages of just explaining things before you even get to, like, you know, actual story that's happening.
Right.
And I just, I don't have, my ADD kicks in, and I'm almost like, oh, I cannot do that. I just need story, story, story. That's why I like reading Dan Brown books, because there's, like, a new chapter every two pages. So it's like, oh, I'm reading this really well. I'm smart. <You know>? So, but that was pretty much it, you know. I mean, just working, and we saw Hunger Games. I was happy. I was really good. But you're gonna enjoy the next two books, because the series gets like more darker of a tone as the series progresses. And that last book, man, it is bleak. So, but it's great. I mean, I love the third book a lot. So, but you'll enjoy that. Next up, Jeff.
Mute button.
Hi.
Did you go away?
I know I'm here. It was mute button. I fucking hate this thing. I need to hook up my mixer, yo.
Yeah, you do.
I gotta get that shit on point. Yeah, not much, man. Had a good week. Work's been really fucking busy, and I've had, like, no time to do anything. Like, I don't have time to slack anymore, man. My job's actually a job now.
I hate when that happens.
February.
It's that busy banking season.
It is, man. And all these, like, mortgage rates going down and shit, and everyone's just like, refinancing and everything, like, oh my god, it's been busy. It's been hell. I've been stressed. Don't want to talk about it. Chris, how's your week been? I'm just happy to sit down and talk with my boys and, you know, enjoy an evening.
I had a good week. Pretty good. Work is busy as usual, but, you know, more importantly, you know, besides the fact that we talked about Hunger Games already, and it was a chance for me and my wife to get out for our anniversary, which, just passed.
Congrats.
Yeah, 3 years.
What was that? And that's, 3 years?
Nice. Yeah, 3 years. That's good. We also found out yesterday that, our new baby is going to be a little girl.
Yay!
So, that's pretty exciting.
Watch out for all those penises.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny on, I posted that on Google Plus and I posted that we're having a girl, not watch out for all those penises.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we post that on your Facebook and Google all the time anyway.
Don't worry, we replied in tandem.
No, but I posted that we're having a girl, and Glenn, immediately posts afterwards, he goes, when are you buying your shotgun?
Yeah.
And my reply to him was, I probably won't need to because she'll probably have a black belt by the time she's 9.
No, don't worry. Chris has plenty of samurai swords.
Oh, no, you're already getting ready to be a lesbian?
Yes, because only lesbians take
shots. I know.
You're an aminal.
Comedic value here, people. What your answer should have been was, I shouldn't have to because Liam's going to watch her fucking back and kick anyone's ass who tries to mess with her.
Well, that'll happen too, but the point is that he won't have to. So he probably will not have to. But Liam's going to be a big kid, man. He's probably going to be taller than me. And he's same stockiness, too.
On.
So, you know, and being only 2 years apart, you know, he's going to be able to watch her back, too. So that's good. Yeah. But, yeah, her name is Elora with an E. So that's it's exciting. And she's going to be joining us late August, early September time. So
cool.
Come on, August 23rd. Cool. We're banking
on
it.
Come on before September. That's all I care. I just, you know. Want her to make that cut off. I don't want her to be a 6-year-old starting kindergarten, you know?
It's right at that
cusp, man. And I just think it would suck for her.
Gotta get that early birthday.
To be there. But, that's it for me. So, I want to talk about some games.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Jeff, why don't you start this week?
I played a lot of Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
I am so surprised.
I never guessed
that you would play that fucking game.
I probably put at least another
40 hours.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I might be above 100 hours now in it.
Oh my god.
I might be.
Dude, I don't put that much time into an RPG.
I know, but it's like when it's the only thing you play, and our binge sessions with like the fighting game crew that we play with, they're like mega binge sessions for the most part. Like we'll start at like 9 o'clock at night, and on average, it's done at like 1 o'clock in the morning, or like 12 maybe. Yeah. So.
That's cool though, man. I mean, the one thing I will say about fighting games and one of the things that I really enjoyed when I was playing Street Fighter regularly with like, Scrub Sport and stuff like that is the social aspect. I really enjoyed that
part
of it.
Part.
And, you know, it's a good feeling. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I mean, it's the late night's usually when Jason and I are on, because we're usually the instigators of, come on, guys, one more match. You can't go now. You can't leave. Usually on Thursday nights, the nights we record, there. I mean, I've had about 3 nights in a row where I've gone to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, yeah, work, like, the next day sucks. But tonight, we're going to change that, because I think he has a early meeting tomorrow, and I just can't put, I'm too old for this shit. I just feel like crap for like 3 days when I do it, so can't do it. But look out for Retroids, people. We're going to do a team tournament
nice.
Soon for Retroid, so we'll see.
Sweet.
I'm still working out on how to actually do the whole team thing, because originally I was like, well, you just pick your team, but that's kind of not fair, especially for people who aren't really have a lot of time to play the game, so it'd be, you know, you couldn't have a team of like...
Hey, it's like Jeff, Jason, and Anattack against...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It's
against the fucking world.
And Scott and I, Scott Sauer, we've been playing some team ranked a lot, and it would be kind of like unfair to go against, like, because we're used to like each other's kind of play style and wanting to tag in and stuff. So going against people who haven't really played, it would just be ugly. So I'm thinking of doing maybe, might do a round robin style throughout the week and then seedings, and then you get paired up that way and then have a couple days to practice with your partner. And
I was gonna suggest something like that. Like, yeah. have a seeding situation.
Yeah. But then I was worried about sandbaggers, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure most people play aren't, you know, wouldn't lower themselves to that, because that would just
be
fair either.
You the got me. You son of a bitch.
Well, you wouldn't need to sandbag, Travis. So.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
thanks.
Gotcha.
Thanks for explaining
it. Jeff's a little slow. He's from Canada. Give him a break.
Well, you cut out. I only heard got me. It's, yeah, cutting out. But I get it now. You're filling me in, asshole. But, yeah, so that played some more Mass Effect 3. Not enough of it. I guess another couple hours, maybe, or a few hours.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to tell with that game, like, where I am without spoiling. But, I mean, we've talked about that game a shitload. And you guys are doing the spoiler show pretty soon.
I think we're going to probably try and do it a week from tomorrow, if we can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. And I know that there's a couple other podcasts out there that are planning on doing them too. So it's going to be cool to get many different perspectives of the game. I'm glad that there's a lot of, especially on the network, I think there's like, including us, there's like 3 podcasts that are doing spoiler shows. So yeah. it's going to be cool to get all those different perspectives for the game.
True. What else have I played? Oh, I played my 3DS a bit.
Your what?
Picked up my 3DS.
Your
you know,
who?
That Nintendo little portable
thing. Oh, that thing!
Came out
okay,
like earlier
okay.
early last year. And I played that game that was supposed to come out like launch window, but it just came out like this
week. Oh, did you play Kid Icarus?
Yeah, I bought Kid Icarus.
You
like,
bought it?
I need to play something. Yeah,
dude, that? I didn't even buy it, man.
I bought it because I was like, you know what? I need to play something on here, and
you
I need to
validate
see what it's
that
like.
Purchase.
Well, it's like it's not even that, because I would have bought other games anyway. But the reviews and the opinions I've heard of this game are so polarizing. Mm-hmm. It's like some people think it's absolute shit, and some people think it's great.
And the one like, thing that seems to be common through every review that I've heard is that the controls fucking suck.
And that's it. That is the caveat.
And that's why I haven't bought it, because everything I read says the controls fucking suck.
Yeah, they don't suck entirely. Basically, every level is broken up into 3 parts. It's the flying part, which you do for 5 minutes, because in the story, what's his face?
It's like Pit can only fly for 5 minutes because
for
that's how
minutes.
Long the spell lasts or something like that.
Exactly. Right. Then you go down to these land parts, and those are the part that are just annoying as shit to play with the control scheme, because your hands cramp up, they go numb, because you're using the D-pad to move, or not the D-pad, the
circle
middle
pad.
Analog circle pad. And you're using the stylus to aim, but you're using the stylus also to use the camera, so you kind of like flick it, like you're spinning a globe or something, and it'll kind of turn, then you tap the screen again, it'll stop. But the problem I have with it is, you move with the circle pad, but to dodge, you have to flick the circle pad. And the way you're holding it, it's really hard to do that, like naturally, just to kind of like...
That sounds god awful.
Like it is
lie,
really bad.
Dude.
Horrible, dude. From what I've read,
it's
fucking horrible.
It's pretty bad. Then you have like special attacks or like basically powerful attacks you do while you're dodging. So fighting bosses or bigger enemies, you're required to flick this, and your reaction has to be pretty good. But the way you're holding the 3DS, it's like you sometimes can't get a good grip on it, and you can't do it, and you get hit by a lot of shit that you think you shouldn't. And that's the part that's really is a bummer, because the flying parts that are like Panzer Dragoon and like Star Fox, those are really fun. I don't have a problem with those, with the way the control scheme is. It's like, if you ever play like Metroid Prime Hunters or something like that for the DS, you'll know exactly how to like it feels the exact same way, basically.
This is what I don't get about, like, Nintendo first party, man. It's shit like this that makes me want to, like, just drop a dump on Iwata's front door. Because, like, I just, like, dude, just make a normal game.
See, here's the thing.
Just make a normal game.
Here's my biggest issue with this, and you know, I haven't played it yet. I'm probably going to end up giving it a try, but Jeff, you could probably comment on this more. But it really seems like this game would have been better off requiring the Circle Pad Pro and just being a dual stick shooter.
100%.
Why don't they just like package it in with a dual stick?
Because they're fucking Nintendo. Everything has to be different.
Like, but it's not even. Well, it does come with a fucking stand.
Yeah, it's a stand because you can't hold it, use the circle pad, hit the L button, and use the stylus at the same time while holding your portable fucking system.
You have to unportableize your system and create a standing console
out of it, and then you have to like hold your head at a specific position just so you could keep the 3D, which is the main point of the entire fucking system.
You don't need to use a stand. I mean, that's you can do it. Like, the game is definitely playable. It's just very fucking awkward. I've only played 3 or 4 chapters, and I was playing in bed, so it's like I'm still in an awkward position, like laying down trying to play it. But it's still like, it still was really awkward in that sense. I haven't tried it with the stand yet, but everything I've read said it does actually help when you're on the stand. But I don't want to play my fucking portable on the table.
Exactly. Why do you need it?
The only time that would ever come in handy is if you're on an airplane. That's the only time like I'd be like, okay, this actually kind of makes sense. Because I mean, it's not like a big piece of plastic. It's not that big of a deal. If you're carrying around a 3DS anyway and whatever, you're probably gonna have a bag with you at some, like, just throw it in there. But the problem is putting that somewhere. That's the problem.
Right.
Not the size of it.
And here's a question that I had, and I'm not sure if this is gonna work because. You know, the biggest problem that I've heard is that if you want to just hold the system and play it without the stand, well, you're holding it with your left hand and you're using the stylus with your right.
Yeah.
And you can't hold the system with two hands that way. Regardless, did you ever have a, one of the DS Fats, the original DS that came out?
Yes, I did.
Do you know the strap that came with it?
I remember the strap, yeah.
Okay, you remember that little thumb tab that was on it?
Yeah.
See, I'm wondering if you can use that in place of the stylus that and might hold actually, it with two hands.
That might actually work, because what I did was, at some point, I think I was on like chapter 3, and that's when my right hand really started to get cramped. I was like, oh, I'm going to try using my finger to aim, or my thumb, but it, of course, doesn't really work that well, because it's like too thick, it doesn't have the exact pinpoint
right.
touchscreen. So that thing would probably 100% work, and would make it a lot easier. But you can hold it with two hands, like you just have it like... Like I said, if you play Metroid Prime Hunters, it's the same thing. It was definitely awkward, for sure, but it's not like that it makes the game unplayable. It just makes it really fucking difficult, and it makes me wonder why they put these levels in there to begin with.
Why they did this control scheme to begin with.
Right.
Well, you kind of have to with no other...
Well, Chris, to answer your own question, it's Nintendo.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, they don't even have it... It's not even compatible with the right analog nub if you happen to have that. Like, you can't
and
even
it
use
should
it.
Be.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's stupid. It's like they're just so stubborn they can't just be like, and have this compatible just in case.
Right.
But. Right.
I don't know. After I thought about using the little thumb tab on the strap, I was thinking about trying it out. But like everything I've read has just said that the control scheme is just horrid.
Well,
and
Chris. It's just the way that it's awkward. The control scheme isn't that bad. It's like it's pretty simple. You move. Hit with a circle pad, you shoot with L1, you change weapons with the D-pad or powers or whatever, and then you have the stylus to aim. And if you did have a second circle pad, or if you had that analog, or like you said, that thumb thing for the screen, the ground levels wouldn't be that difficult, because at least you'd be holding it in a way where you had a solid grip on the circle pad at all times, so you could do those flick motions really easy.
But that's my point. It's like, if you've designed... a game that requires you to put, well, it doesn't require you, but highly, majorly benefits from you putting your portable system on a stand, there's something wrong.
Oh, yeah. We're going in circles. No one's ever denied that. Yeah. But I'm saying the control scheme isn't the problem. It's just the fact that, like...
But it is. That's what we're talking about.
Well, it's the fact that there's no right analog, or there's nothing to... You can control with the buttons. The control scheme isn't the problem. It's the...
I would rather use the four face buttons to control the camera.
You'd say that until you try it, and you're like, this fucking sucks, because I tried that.
No, I played 80 hours of Peace Walker like that. You get used to it.
Really? Well, then you might not find it that bad then. But then again, you're not... This is a lot way faster pace than Peace Walker.
Right.
This is like, things are coming at you like really, really quick, so you can't really... It's doesn't really work that well. But I don't know. The actual game is fun, though. That's the thing. That's the thing that really pisses me off, because I like the characters. There's like this constant chatter in it, which right now isn't annoying. It's Pit talking to every character in the game basically constantly, and it's got some funny parts here and there, but it hasn't. It might get annoying after a while, but I kind of like that. So you're always listening to something while you're going through, and they'll make references to past games, and then at the bottom screen they'll show a picture of what that was in the first game, which I thought was kind of cool. I'm like, what? And they'll show a picture of it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that thing. Well, as much as I could remember that, because like, honestly, I didn't think Kid Icarus was that great of a game anyway.
No, it's not. It's not at all. I've been saying that for, you know, years since they announced the new Kid Icarus, you know? I mean, like, I just don't see why people have been clamoring for it. You know, you go back, I think it's just nostalgia. Because
just
because
everyone's played it.
You know? You go back to that first game, and it's, that game is rough.
Yeah.
Like, really, really rough. So.
It's not fun. It's really fucking hard. And
Yeah, it is
rough. But yeah, it's like, the flying levels are good. The boss levels are kind of decent. But the one in between, that is the one and only like annoying part of that control. Like if they can just even, I don't know, make some kind of like patch where it just controls a little bit differently, or you don't, or fucking, I don't know, just even add like have the camera not, because the game's pretty linear. So I don't even know why they shouldn't even, like, I can understand they wanted to give you camera control to like look around, but there's not really stuff you're looking for during these levels. So I don't understand why they don't just take out camera control entirely, because even that would make a big difference.
Right.
But I don't know. It's funny. It's fun to play this most for the majority. There's a lot of stuff you can do. It's like it's pretty deep, man. You can like make weapons and fuse weapons, and there's a lot of loot in the game. Like it's kind of like loot drops and shit like that, and a lot of cool shit you can unlock.
I've thought about picking it up because of just what I'm hearing about the game in general outside of, you know, the control. The learning curve of the controls, you know, after realizing that I still had one of those straps, I was like, maybe I'll give that a shot.
Definitely play
it
first, though. Like, I wouldn't say I was disappointed, because, like, the game, while I was playing it, for most, I was like, this is fun, until it got annoying at those levels. I'm like, I don't know, man, this is, like, I don't know if I'll be going to be able to play all of this, like, this entire game, because it's pretty long. It's, like, 25 chapters, and each chapter's... So far, I've played, it's probably about 15 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer, from beginning to end. So that could get, I don't know, put a little bit of stress on your right wrist or your left wrist, depending on, you know, how you're holding the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay. I don't know. I just wonder, I just think it's funny, though, because, like, I compared it to it twice already as Metroid Prime Hunters, and that was a game that was reviewed pretty well for the DS back in the day, and that's got the exact same control scheme.
Well,
and that was during a DS fat.
Does it really, though? Because
heavier.
Metroid Prime Hunters, aren't you actually playing the game on the bottom screen?
I can't fucking remember. But how would that change anything?
Because when you tapped to shoot, and you tapped at what you were shooting at. In this, you're tapping on the bottom screen to make something happen on the top screen, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're making it happen to the top screen. Yeah, it is moving to the top screen. But Metroid Prime had the analog, like the stylus was still controlling the camera, like a first-person shooter. So you're still constantly had your stylus on that, and you're moving it around.
It also doesn't seem that Metroid Prime, though, I don't recall it being a very, very fast-paced shooter, and it seems like your reaction time needs to be a little more on point
when
you're playing
Kid Icarus.
But
that's not the problem with Kid Icarus, though. The problem isn't the aiming during that part. The problem is navigating Pit on these land levels while you're moving slowly.
Yeah,
that's the problem with it. It's not the aiming, and it's the control of the camera and the fact that dodging is flicking the circle pad. So it really, like, Metroid Prime Hunters had pretty much the exact same control scheme, except for it didn't have the dodging. Actually, I can't remember if it did have dodging or not, but it definitely didn't have a circle pad, so that wasn't an issue. Like, if they had, a simple thing I kept doing is, when I wanted to dodge in this game, was flicking the stylus left or right. That just seems to me would make way more sense, as opposed to having it control the camera in that awkward way, because it just would be so much easier, instead of using your left thumb and not having a good grip on it. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know how well they thought it through or how much testing they did on it, because I think it could have been done way better, for sure. But just on those levels, I don't know. I don't even know why those levels are in there. Why couldn't they just made it like a Star Fox, Panzer Dragoon type thing, and then have boss fights or something like that? I guess, I don't know. Maybe they thought people would be mad. It'd be like, oh, well, Kid Icarus, you weren't flying, so... I don't know. I definitely recommend giving it a shot, just I wouldn't go out and pay for it right away, because it depends how much you like the game and those levels were or not it's worth the money. But, I mean, I don't know.
If
you have really strong wrists and you're a chronic masturbator, it might be fun.
Cool, what else you got?
Been playing. That's it, man.
All right, Travis, what's up, man?
All right, I have found myself in that sweet, loving, tender embrace that is Dark Souls. Jump right back into
that's
it, man.
That's what I think of, sweet, tender.
Yeah. I jumped in and started a new character, and talking to some there's a couple of guys who are at work that are this hardcore in Dark Souls, and just talking about it, you know, a lot at work, you know, they just got me back in, like, I after Mass Effect, it's Dark Souls, so boom, I jumped into it. I started a thief. We were talking a lot of thief builds and everything, and it's a little more since it's, you know, using daggers and a lot of, you know, shorter, quicker weapons and everything. It makes the game a little bit more difficult in that front, but you also attack a lot faster. But I'm having a blast, an absolute blast with Dark Souls there. Pretty deep into the game too. I can probably imagine maybe a good, like, you know, 7 or 8 more hours and I'm probably done with it. So I'm playing that. We also got a review copy of being really, really, really reviewed well so far. I said that shmup on Xbox Live, Sine Mora. Enjoying the hell out of that.
That's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I am not what you call
guy?
A fan of shmups.
Yeah.
But and I've played a little bit. I think Jeff when I went up to Canada to see you.
We took that vacation to my place.
We played a couple of games on XBLA, and one of the games I think you had Ikaruga. Yeah, it was Ikaruga, and oof, 10 minutes in, I was like, nope, done. Dunzo. I'm not going to play this. Jumping into Sine Mora, and I was a little, you know, I was speculating how I was going to feel about this game, but I wanted to take the, you know, everything that I've reviewed so far for Indus was something that I wanted to play. I wanted to review something. I want to have this challenge of reviewing something of a genre that I'm not very familiar with, something that I've never really played a full game of before, you know. And I figured, what better genre than you know, the shoot 'em ups? So going into it, and I'm gonna tell you what, man, it is absolutely fantastic. Now, one thing, it's not like all, you know, bullet hell like Ikaruga. The difficulty, I mean, I'm playing on the normal difficulty. There's just a normal and expert. Mm-hmm. I'm playing on normal, of course. And if there was an easy mode, I'd probably play on that. But enjoying it. Like, it's not bullet hell like Ikaruga is. It's fantastic so far. So basically, the story is, it's character-based and it's story-based. So that's one of the things that really drew me in. And the story so far is a little bit like, what's going on when, like, you know, in between chapters, there's like some narration. Couldn't tell you what's going on there, but the interaction between these characters, there's some serious mature stuff going on and everything. Cause they talk about, you know, people who've been, like, you know, sexually abused and battered and everything. And, you know, some characters are just flat out just horrible to other people. But they're all, and I don't know what the situation is, but they're all, you know, going through these missions, these airplane missions and these underwater missions for some common purpose, even though these guys basically can't stand each other. So the story has got me intrigued. Gameplay wise, you know, it's normal, you know, left, right, leash them up, but it's, you know, the shmups that I've tried to play, like, it's always been like 1 or 2 hit kills and you're done. This game has a different play on like a health bar system. Everything's based off of time. You can when you shoot guys, you know, not only do they drop power ups, but they drop more time to your clock, and that clock is constantly ticking down and everything. Because when the space time continuum breaks up, that's how you die. So when you kill guys, they'll drop some things. Well, when you kill guys, it automatically extends your time. The easier guys will add 2 or 3 seconds. Some, you know, harder defenses or some turrets or anything like that will you know, add about 10 seconds to your clock. So it's always a race against time, and almost kind of like a half minute hero vibe to it when I played a little bit of that. Like, and graphically, the game looks great. I'm having a ball with it. The bosses are fun. That's one thing I can't say about other shmups that I played. I usually dread bosses, but the bosses, they're challenging, but they're also a blast. They're really interesting. They're multi-tiered. You know, sometimes you fight a battleship and you think you destroy it and it looks like it's going down, but it'll turn right around and you gotta fight the other side of the battery. And it's some really cool things they do there.
That's like every shmup ever made.
True.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I'm not very seasoned in the genre, but I am enjoying it and I'm looking forward to reviewing it. So that'll be up on the website pretty soon, hopefully sometime next week. So
yeah, I downloaded the trial. I haven't played it yet, though.
Yeah, it's fun. I think you'll dig it.
What's the scoring mechanic like? I mean, you talked about the time time extensions and stuff, but like, I mean, are there I can't speak to combos
it.
Or
yeah, there are. Yeah, you can earn points, and it all goes to leaderboards and everything. But it's just basic, you know, points. You know, you can chain things.
There's a slowdown mechanic too, right? That keeps your combo.
Yeah, that's another part of the time. You know, there's basically, you know, four buttons you use in the entire game that I've noticed so far. It's you know, the left stick to move your plane around. There's a alternate fire and primary fire, and then the left trigger is what you do to slow down time. Now you have a limited amount of time. You have a gauge that tells you how much you have that. And of course, when you're shooting guys and they're dropping power ups, so they're dropping more time, you can also, you know, pick up these power ups that give you more. So that is also very, very helpful, because there are some points in the time where it can get a little bullet hell. And you have to like slow down time to kind of like, you know, ease through the cracks of the bullets when they're coming at you and everything. So it definitely adds a little bit, but you don't want to overuse it. So you kind of have to like, you know, pick your poison. Okay, do I take this hit? Because when you take a hit, you also lose time off the clock. So like, you want to kill guys to gain time, but if you get hit, you'll drop like massive loads of time. So you kind of have to make up for that. So it's a nice little mechanic there to try to like, you know, get you. It's basically almost like health refills, like when you're killing guys. It's an interesting dynamic. I like what they're doing there, but you know, I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't really have my, you know, final views on the game.
Okay,
you'll have to read about that later.
Oh.
Ooh, so that's pretty much it. I'm trying to think back. It's just been Dark Souls, who's been treating me so kind lately. I haven't really got mad at Dark Souls, which is crazy. It's been
I haven't thrown a controller yet, so that's pretty good.
It's been a pretty, I mean, there's a couple of bosses that have given me a run, but I mean, I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty mellow playthrough so far. I'm actually kind of satisfied with it. But other than Dark Souls and Cine Mora, that is pretty much it. More MotorStorm RC on the Vita.
That is a cool little game.
It's RC Pro-Am, man. That's my favorite Nintendo game.
Exactly.
It's my favorite Nintendo game.
It's like RC Pro-Am and MotorStorm had sex, and this is what came out.
Yeah.
This is the baby they had. It's awesome. It's fun. It's fast-paced. It's very simple. And, you know, they let you choose what control scheme you have, which I think is really, really great.
Very cool.
So it's like you can actually choose to have it so that left and right actually control the car going left and right, or the control is based on where you are on the track.
Right.
So, you know, based on what you as a player would want, that's how the game would work. So
right.
I think that's a big thing for that type of game.
And I'm playing it old school RC Pro-Am style, man. That's just how I play that game.
Yeah.
I really dig that.
It's really fun.
It's fun. That game just really just screams for some online multiplayer. Because it's only single player with, you know, score chasing. But
it's got really good score chasing, though.
Yeah, it's really good score chasing because, like, everything's broken down to, like, you know, different levels, and then there's time trials, and there's different things where you have to, like, you know, try to overtake and pass people. That's also one of my favorite games there and everything. So, I mean, it's fantastic. It's fun. It just needs, you can tell it was just kind of like a little free game they wanted to put out to kind of, you know, cleanse your palate, you know, because after Uncharted, I was like, what do I play? I beat Mutant Blob's Attack, and after that, I was like, okay, well, I don't have any much, and then the next thing I know, boom, RC comes out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, let's play that, and it's a nice little palate cleanser, nice to play at work while I'm out on break or something. It's just fun to do.
Yeah.
I'm confused, Chris, by the control scheme. You said you can have it to turn left or right, or depending on where you are on the track.
Yeah, so, like, if you're going up, like, if you're going up on the screen, if your car's going up, then left and right will be left and right. If you're going, like, right on the track, if you're moving to the right, then up is turning your car left, and down is turning your car right. So, the control scheme is actually based on where you are on the track.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I play, like I said, old school RC Pro-Am style, where basically you're treating your analog stick to turn
as if
it's a steering wheel. Basically, like, so you have to make sure you're turning right to turn right no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. I dig it a lot. I mean, that game is really, really cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you can download that still.
But that is it for me, gentlemen. Chris, tell me about this game that I heard you've been playing. It's new to me. Mass Effect 2. Tell me about it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been playing Super Stardust Delta all week.
How is that? Is that good?
No, it's good, dude. It translates so beautifully to the Vita.
You guys got two sticks.
It really does. And it's, you know, they simplified it and made it, you know, and gave you more options at the same time. So it's like now when you're upgrading your guns, you only have two guns to upgrade. And other podcasts have talked about this, so I'm not going to go into amazing detail. So you only have like, you have a fire and an ice, basically a gun. So you have like the lava, the gold, what did they call it in the first, the actual
the
game?
The melter.
Yeah, like the gold melter or something like that. And then you have the ice blaster. Okay. And so you level up those two guns, and that's what you have. And then you still have your dash, And you still, and instead of bombs now, they give you like this missile launch, which literally like shoots missiles from every direction, from your ship and just goes everywhere on the globe. So that's pretty cool. And then there's like this black hole mechanic where if you tap the back of the screen, it actually creates a black hole and, all the enemy ships and everything like that that are nearby get sucked into it and die.
Sucks them up.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's really good. I mean, I highly suggest it. I mean, Super Stardust, I've always been a big fan. It's a fantastic game. If you liked the PS3 one, you are definitely going to like the Vita one. Mm-hmm. End of story. And yeah, besides that, it's been all about Mass Effect 2, man. I've been trying to, finish up my Renegade Femship, and, I'm getting pretty close. I'm thinking, you know, this weekend I'm probably going to beat Mass Effect 2 and import my character and start Mass Effect 3 again. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at. I just did, I think, today I finished Jacob's loyalty mission. And I think I have Tali and Zaid left. And then after that, it's to the, going to get the IFF and then, you know, finishing up the game. Still don't have Legion, so that happens soon too.
Spoilers!
Whatever.
Obviously.
News!
But yeah.
Is that it, Chris?
That's it for me, man. Okay. That's it for me. So yeah, we could do some news. I know Jeff's got one.
I got a couple. I got a couple really quick ones. Journey.
Journey is a good experience.
Travis played. Did you play it yet, Chris?
I have not.
Okay, because I want to play this game. It's got, you know, getting a lot of good hype, a lot of good word of mouth, and apparently people have been listening because it's, according to Sony, the fastest selling PSN game ever.
Really?
They didn't release numbers, but they just said it's the fastest sold selling.
Hmm.
Which is a very surprising thing.
That doesn't mean
me.
Best selling, it just means fastest selling.
It just means fastest. So, yeah. I mean, like, it got to whatever the fast, which to me is like, I thought, when I read that, I was like, really? Cause like, I don't know if they're, and they also don't speculate whether or not it's exclusive game or not. Cause if it's like.
They don't specify that.
No, so it's like, if it's like PS, like, built just for PSN game, I can more or less understand that a little bit more, but if it's like, if that includes like all PSN games, that's really
impressive.
Surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
And considering
really,
how many games are out there.
You know, you really have to think that the new age of, you know, how people are able to communicate with each other, man, the whole Twitter age, Facebook age, because that game, aside from the PSN store, was not getting very much advertising whatsoever.
Oh, no, not at all. Pure word of mouth.
Yeah, it was pure word of mouth. And
social networking.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of how things work nowadays.
And you know what you know what I actually like about this is that this is a $15... It's a $15 2-hour experience, and people are okay with that. And
it's dude, it's fantastic.
It shows that yes, we understand that, you know, $15 to make for a downloadable game, it might sound like a lot, but there are some that are definitely worth it. And
oh, for
I
sure.
think Journey definitely falls into that.
That Limbo.
Yeah. I plan on getting Journey. I just haven't done it yet because I have pretty much everything that game company has released.
Yeah, which game company?
Yeah.
we're going to get into this whole who's on second base thing, and I don't like it one bit. I do think sometime this week, though, we were talking about it on the Twitters, but MC Wilson, myself, and Megan might actually be recording a little something for Journey.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And if we do it in time, it might be posted on the end of the show, so we'll see if we can align the stars and everything, but it will be spoilers, so people, if it does happen, you want to steer free if you have not played the game. So
if you do that, try and get it to me by Sunday.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
All right.
Good stuff. Also, Fez, that game that seems to be in development it was an indie game, and then I can't remember exactly who's developing it. Is it the guy who did, what's it called?
No, I know he's not. I know he's in that indie game movie that's coming out.
Yeah, the guy who's Fez. It's been in development for like ever and ever. And ever. And ever. But it's finally got a release date. April 13th. So that's only in a couple weeks.
Wow.
It's coming out on a Friday on Xbox Live, which is weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
So, and it comes out a week before.
What kind of game is Fez? I've only heard the name.
It's like a side-scrolling action puzzler type thing. Okay. I can't really tell. It's like, you gotta look up videos and stuff. It looks really cool. It's like hand-drawn. It looks pretty badass. But it's like, I don't really know what to compare it to, because it's like really like, that's, I think, why people are kind of excited for it, is because it does look kind of unique, and I shouldn't I can't remember what the guy made before this. This is really going to bug me now.
He's not the cave story guy, is he?
I honestly, dude, I would look it up right now, but I don't, wanna, like, think wait, it like, is, no. Spend time, you know, not great listening, but right. I should, yeah. Fuck, I was just talking about this with somebody earlier today.
Real quick, while we're thinking about it, I do want to add one quick thing, if you do want to check it out. I did miss this on Distractions. I hate myself for doing it. but I am playing something else on my Vita that I think everybody should just drop it and buy. Any gamers maybe our age should just drop it and buy because it's an automatic appreciative game. You will love it. Corpse Party. Have I mentioned it on a show before?
I don't know. That's it for like everything, though, isn't it?
It is fan freaking tastic. I'm digging. It's a PSP game. It's a downloadable onto the Vita. And it is. It's $15. Totally worth every penny, man. It's very Japanese. It's got a really quirky Japanese like teenage high school girl weird storyline. But it's basically what it is. It's you know, normal, like, King's Quest adventure game type gameplay, but it's in a 16-bit Super Nintendo graphic looking setting. And it's a straight up horror story, and the writing is just so top notch. Like, they do some really, really spooky things in this game, and to have a 16-bit game, like, spook you out, it's pretty rare. Like, I have never seen anything, like, come close to this style make me freaked out. And it gets gory too. If you screw up and your character dies, I mean, you're talking about like, you'll get these anime girls just get like ripped to shreds. But it's fantastic, dude. It's a terrific game. So anyone who has a Vita or a PSP, $15, dude, just don't call buy it. Fantastic game.
Nice.
Anyway, Fez.
Anyway, yes. Fez, yeah, I'm totally mixed up. It is Full Fish, and it's totally not, it's a 2D, 3D game. It's not the one I was thinking about.
It's like it's compared a lot to things like Echo Chrome. Like visual illusion type gameplay.
But it's like platformy-ish.
Yeah.
And it looks really like, it does look kind of cool. And it's, I don't know, it's just been something that's been talking about for a while. But finally got a release date. It looks kind of cool. Who knows? I mean, this day and age, I'm not playing Mass Effect 3 enough, so I don't know if I'll be.
I don't know if I'm talking to this. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things coming on the pipeline on XBLA. I just don't know if I'd want to drop
comes out the week before Trials Evolution.
See, and Trials has got.
And Trials is going to be like, I think that's going to be one of the best Xbox. Like, that game is just, the first game is so good. This game looks retarded. Like, retarded in a good way. Like, you can make your own games with it. It's. Like Little Big Planet in a fucking motorbike game.
Yeah, they showed Limbo. They showed made a Limbo level, and it's fantastic looking.
It's ridiculous. That's
and in four player multiplayer.
Can you share levels?
You can.
You can share levels on Xbox 360?
Think so.
Yeah. It's only on Xbox 360, so yeah.
Well, that's why I was surprised.
You can share them on Trials too, but you can only share them with people on your friends list, which I mean that makes sense. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, you couldn't just go to like user levels or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works on there.
The multiplayer got me, dude. That game needed it, and man. Actually, the game didn't even need it.
I fucking hated playing that game. I thought I was decent at it until one day I went up there and saw fucking Silent Hero Shura. Name Oof. Above mine, all of a sudden, boom, like, motherfucker. Fuck it, I'm not playing this game anymore.
Are you guys going to jump on Minecraft? Is Minecraft going to happen?
It's probably not for me.
No. Really? No. Come on, man.
That's my who gives a shit for this week. I have no interest in that game at all. I'm the least creative guy ever. I will sit there and make a box in a game where everything is a box, and I will be happy with that.
I am concerned. Before I buy it, I do want to see how the user interface is going to go, because, you know, running around and doing, like, the mining, that would work great on a controller, but I am curious how they're going to do the user interface in terms of, like,
it's $20, too.
Yeah, I just don't know how they're going to do that.
It's actually more on PC, but...
Is it? I thought it was... Like 10 or something.
Well, it started out like when it was in beta. It was like 13 alpha, or it was 13. Now it's like 20. Yeah. It's like between 25 and 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
Repeat posted about it on Metroid. The thread for last week's show. The Xbox Live version is cheaper than the PC version, but you know, the thing that worries me is that if this takes off, if Minecraft takes off at $20.
That's not good.
No, because everyone's going to want to
start charging $20 for games.
$20 for downloadable shit.
Sorry about that, guys. I was spending $30 on this Xbox One.
Then again, we just said that Journey was awesome for $15. Yeah, that's true. Like a two-hour thing. So, I mean, Minecraft technically could last forever.
Yep.
So, who knows? But yeah, that's all the news I have. Chris, you have anything extra? I think you might have a game you never, ever mentioned on the show.
Never mentioned this game on the show. I didn't mention it at all on last week's show or the week before, whichever
that
it was.
That is amazing.
It sounds like it's going to be a deep cut.
No, there's this game coming out called Phantasy Star Online 2 that I'm really excited about.
Heard about it.
Get it's the fucking free.
Fuck out.
Get out.
It awesome. Is free to play.
Oh, wait, you don't have to buy anything physical.
For the PC version, you do not have to buy anything physical. It has not been confirmed yet. I don't think that you don't have to buy anything for the Vita version that's coming out.
Oh, you're going to have to buy something for the Vita, right?
I have a feeling you will,
too. Oh, you're guaranteed. I don't get
it.
But
you know what? It doesn't matter because just the fact that you can play online for free. And like, Phantasy Star Universe, I put 400, 500 hours into that game, and I had to pay $10 a month for it.
Right.
You know?
Or you can play Phantasy Star online for free. Up until two. Or no, what do they even call it?
No, at the GameCube, when they hit the GameCube, they started charging for it. So episode two, they started charging for it.
That's what it was, episode
two. You know, I've never played a Phantasy Star online game, ever.
So good.
Not once, and I'm.
It you probably wouldn't appreciate it now because of how far like.
No, I don't think you would. I think I would dig something like this. But you know, just hearing you guys for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, just on a personal level, just talking about how much you adore this game, you know, how much you dig it, and hearing smaller things about it. I mean, I've been close when I had a PSP to just Stone Cold buying it and just trying it out and everything because you know I. But the ability to play with you guys and everything, I'm really, really excited about this. I do want to look into it more and see what it has to offer, but...
It's 3D Diablo, basically, in a futuristic, setting.
It's a science fiction Diablo that is, like, behind-the-back third person.
Yeah. Nice. And I think I love the first one so much because at the time it was so mind-blowing to me. Plus, like, I mean, online gaming systems, like consoles was really new. So it's like, oh my god, I'm talking to real people. This game is amazing. Blue screen of death. I don't care.
That's why SOCOM always has a dear place in my heart. Like,
for real. That's why I couldn't go back to it.
That's news right there, actually. Apparently Zipper's being shut down. It's rumored right now. Nothing's confirmed, but look, I mean, all signs point to Sony closing up Zipper. Yeah.
They had an official statement saying, I guess official basis saying, we don't have a comment, which to me says it's happening. Because if it wasn't, they would just be like, yeah, no, that's not true. Get the fuck out of here. No, they're still,
which is a shame. I mean, these guys made, you know, like console shooters. You know, in terms of like multiplayer, so they started it. So it'd be very bittersweet to see those guys go.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is all I've got.
All right.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Yeah. Let's do it. When we come back, we're going to talk about endings of games and how they affect our overall perception of that particular game. And then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Okay,
so.
It's time to wake up.
Thank you.
And welcome back.
Aw.
Let's talk about some endings.
Okay.
So the question of the week was kind of based off of all the ridicule that BioWare's getting for the ending for Mass Effect 3. A lot of people are saying that it's ruined everything, and, you know, sure, Mass Effect is a very large investment, blah, 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 blah. It's still BioWare's story. I let them fucking end it the way they want to. But, so we pose the question to you guys. Have you ever experienced the ending of a game that actually changed your perception of that game? We got a few emails, and I even got a voicemail on this one. So I'm going to pass it over to the guys and let them start reading.
All right, we got one. JG92 says, "Hey guys, I have one thing to say of this question of the week. That fucking Mass Effect 3 ending, I just can't..." Only kidding. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, no. Douchebag.
Okay. No, but seriously, neither have I. Well, okay, no. But seriously, a game that I thought was a bullshit game because the ending was Turning Point: Fall of Liberty. You guys remember that game? If not, he goes on. No, this game, for those who don't know, no. It's a game about what the world would have been like if the Nazis had not been defeated in World War II. I remember going through thinking that the game was okay, but a bit glitchy, but fun. Now I'll try to do no spoilers on a game that is 4 years old, but you stop something from doing, a big boom at the end, and that was it. Seriously? I went through the end stage, did everything required, I got a, hey, these stats increased, splash, and then credits. I don't know if there was a cutscene at the end that I accidentally skipped, in which case, who makes any cutscene which is clinical to the story skippable, but not the damn credits? This could just be something only I experienced, but it pissed me off and made me sling the game straight out the window. PS3 discs are surprisingly nice frisbees that can withstand the landing so well that I was able to trade the game back into. Yeah, it's probably supposed to be back into. Also, the ending of the 2008 non-subtitled Persia of Persia game. I'm sure it's Prince of Persia game. the ending versus what you spend upwards of 15 hours doing in about 2 to 4 minutes. Bullshit, not cool. Sure, they released an epilogue, but I need to buy the DLC for the real ending. Yeah, I remember that shit. That was fucking awful. Sounds like Prince of Persia from 2008 has and is going to predict a Mass Effect, has, and also did predict a Mass Effect-related future internet complaint. You wanted that fucking ending? Now pay, bitch. For Mass Effect, not... Wow. This is... Sorry, it's not J, it's just the way that it came out formatted. Future internet complaint, where you wanted a fucking ending. Now pay, bitches, for Mass Effect, not Prince of Persia. Well, I'm not saying don't buy Prince of Persia's DLC, but fuck it. You know what I mean. Winky Smace with a tongue sticking out. Thanks, guys. Keep up the awesome work. Jake Gray of Opposite Sides, Non-Fame.
Opposite Sides, Non-Fame. Right. Fall of Liberty from what it sounds, it was like you stop something from happening and that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way he explained it, it reminds me of the games that end and they just say, "Congratulations!" and then they roll credits. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, there's like no payoff at all. And that's the kind of thing that can annoy me. It won't like taint my thought on the game, but it can get on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah, I see that. I don't know. I've never really been one to complain about endings though, because to me, I guess the game is just like, I don't know. Like, what do you expect at the end? Like a movie?
Yeah,
some games warrant that though. I mean,
yeah,
you know, so if you play a game that's like cinematic in nature, you know, you expect that end and return. You know,
yeah, but most cinematic games will have that most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
Like in Prince of Persia's case, I mean, that's like he got that, like he hit that right in the head. Like that's like that happened in 2008. And it got some backlash, but that's pretty much exactly what's probably going to happen with Mass Effect 3.
Isn't that what happened with Final Fantasy 13 too? I mean, wasn't there a stink about the fact that it ended kind of on a cliffhanger, and then you had to buy DLC to see what actually happened afterwards or something?
I don't know. There's kind of like conflicting things about that. Like talking to Scott about it, he said it's not really like it wasn't like they put on the ending. It was just some like added stuff you could see, which I guess technically would be kind of like the same thing. I don't really know. I know it ended on a cliffhanger because they kind of opened up to like a Final Fantasy 13-3, I guess, but I can see that pissing people. Like, that would piss me off more than anything, is I want closure out of at least the game I'm playing, but you can still leave it open to a sequel. Like, right. I like to tie up those, like, kind of, like, some loose ends or whatever, but don't just be, like, not like Halo 2, where Halo 2 was just like, all right, now we're taking the Battle of Earth, oh my god, get ready, here it comes, and credits. Like, that was nice. Bullshit. It did not resolve anything in that story.
Yeah, those are the worst. I mean, those are absolutely the worst. It's like, of course we're going to the ending of a trilogy, let's just leave you hanging. Like, I don't like that at all, you know?
No.
One of the big ones for me that was kind of on my list was, Legacy of Kain's Soul Reaver, the first one.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
Soul Reaver was just, I mean...
Such a good game.
An amazing game. An amazing game. And for...
Excuse me, sorry.
Hey, bless you.
I couldn't get my mute button fast enough.
for that game just to end so abruptly, literally a guy comes out and says, you have more work to do. Boom. Instant.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
you have more money to spend.
What?
Yeah, more time to wait.
So, and like... things like that. Those are kind of like the biggest, you know, like, you know, Mass Effect 2 could have easily done that. Easily. But they didn't. They gave you something solid to go on, but still leaving you that, okay, look, the shitstorm's coming. You know, they did a really good job of balancing out, you know, giving you something, giving you some meat in that ending, and then leaving you hanging, but not leaving you wanting more. Like, you wanted more, but not, you know, you were satisfied with the ending. So.
I'm satisfied with emails.
Well, let's do another one then.
All right, why not? Let's see. This comes from Hermes. He says, the game in question is Metal Gear Solid 4. The reason why I did not like the ending was because it changed the entire tone of the game. It was pretty. It was a pretty bleak world 90% of the time. Snake's about to die. Raiden sacrifices himself for the woman he loved and a family that wasn't even his own. The good guy's about to face immeasurable odds, the world against them, and a virus about to kill most of mankind. After a Pyrrhic victory, Snake...
Spoilers?
It's
if
so
you, if you haven't beat Metal Gear Solid 4...
Then you're probably not going to.
You're not going to. After the victory, Snake is about to put a bullet in his brain because his existence threatens the entire world. As it turns out, it was dire, and at some point, I guess they noticed they couldn't make a sequel if half of those things didn't get resolved. So halfway into the ending cutscene, they change the entire tone and make it far more optimistic. Snake's, Snake gets cured because the virus is destroyed because and it turns out Raiden is alive.
Yep. After being crushed by a fucking
battleship, whatever it was. It turns out Raiden is alive and the woman still loves him because the family is his after all.
I get it.
The bad guy's army shuts down and the good guys win. And even some get married. Why not? The good guys that were dead weren't dead after all, and they returned to give Snake a heartwarming farewell before they maybe die for real.
Yeah.
It was uncalled for. It happened in the last 30 minutes, and it magically resolved everything. It was a Deus Ex as they've ever been one.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't just give Snake a dignified a dignified death. Hey, Kojima, I guess the chance of making Metal Gear Solid 5 and the possibility of fans camping outside your house because, Snake can't die, were too big of a detriment. Well, F you. You took away everything that could have been pretty, a pretty epic closure, and changed the entire world to a pink, sweet, Disney-like version so that they could all live happily ever after. In fact, forget that. At least Disney had the balls to kill Mufasa at the beginning of Lion King and leave him dead.
Spoilers!
Bambi's mom, yo!
However, now that I have that off of my chest, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. Although I think that the ending was terribly handled and Kojima could have certainly used a good editor, it was still an ending. I do not endorse all those guys that get demand the ending of Mass Effect changed as if they had any rights to do it. Why not? Because I believe fear for the fans' uproar is exactly what leads Kojima into making the dumb ending. What did people expect? That Shepard would turn the Reapers in ice cream and be named Supreme Emperor of the Galaxy?
As credit to the Penny Arcade comic. Nice.
As much as we picture ourselves as co-authors of the story, we are not. We are walking on predetermined paths, no different than a choose-your-own-adventure books. No matter how much freedom we may have, we are still taking one of the paths the designers gave us. For example, look no further than the ending of Fallout 3. And the authors, the real ones, should always be allowed to tell a story that have always wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me go ahead and take Metal Gear Solid 4 here. Again, we brought it up earlier. You know, some games are so cinematic, they kind of need a really long, you know, I don't want to say drawn out, but
Oh, it was drawn out.
It was
drawn out. But you know,
that's a good way to put it.
Could the ending have cut out some things? Yeah, yep. The wedding thing was a little awkward. You know, the riding scene, that didn't bother me that much. But I mean, other than the wedding scene just being kind of out of place and kind of campy and goofy, I thought the rest of the ending was just absolutely solid. No pun intended, at all.
No. I totally thought it was.
See, really.
Totally 100% disagree. I didn't even think about that game until actually we just read that email. And I totally feel like I still loved the game, but I didn't ruin my perception of the game. I still liked the game. But that ending, I think you brought up a good point, is the fear of the developers, the writers, of the backlash from the fans. And I think that is bullshit. You should not be afraid of that. Let's be realistic. You can end it however the hell you want to and still have a sequel, because you just make up some off-the-wall, batshit crazy thing to bring back any character you ever want to. I mean, look at horror movies, all the sequels and all that kind of shit. You can just do whatever the hell you want to. That's fine. Like, to me, that should have ended with Solid Snake in that graveyard, whatever it was, after he talked to, shooting himself. That would have been awesome. That would have blown the world away. Sure, it would have pissed people off.
I'm gonna tell you what.
It would have been ballsy.
I felt it would have been fitting for Snake to die. I'm with you there. But when it was all said and done, you know, and even when you find out that he didn't shoot himself, and I was like, oh, they're really just, they didn't do it. That sucks. Missed opportunity. Yeah. What is succeeded by that, I thought, was so powerful. And then the final,
what was powerful about it, though? They just copped out and made everything like a big happy ending,
says. The wedding stuff and all that stuff came before
after.
That. No, that was all before that. That. Yeah, you don't find out that Snake, because Snake apparently shoots himself in the very beginning, and then all the happy stuff happens, and then it goes to credits, and then credit to Kojima, because that's the gravitas of the credit sequence was just amazing when they go through they're going through the cast list, and at the end it shows Big Boss had a voice actor, and you're like, what? And then it goes into that other cutscene that finishes explaining Big Boss's story and what his goal was and, you know, his war against Zero. I thought that was fantastic. That part right there was just fantastically paced, great exposition. And at that point, I was like, you know what? The way this ended, how, you know, the finality of Big Boss and Solid Snake, I thought it was fantastic.
There wasn't any finality, that's the thing.
Yes, there was. There was absolute finality in that. Because the whole thing was, you know, it's about your genes and passing on. That's the whole Metal Gear Solid story. And it's about passing on your genes to a future generation. And I think that the point they were making, and credit to them, I think the point they made was that was settled, and it was done really, really well. Because that's the point of the game, you know? Like I said, I do think the wedding stuff and all that stuff was just too much, but they really redeemed themselves in the end. And I think the final, after the very end credits, the final, because they always do that audio thing at the very end of the credits, I thought that was a nice little, just a nice little accent to the very end. Because, you know what, Snake didn't die, but you know what, he's going to very, very soon. But knowing that his comrades were going to be at his side the entire time, it was very fitting. Very, very
I guess
fitting.
We'll agree to disagree, because I totally, don't feel
Now,
that
here's
at
the
all.
Deal. There is one caveat to that. There's one caveat to that, okay? And this is what Kojima needs to stick to. You know, he always said that was Snake's last game. This is the end of his
story. He said
that
was going to be Metal Gear's last game. That was it.
No, he never said it was going to be Metal Gear's last game. He always said it was going to be Solid Snake's last story in a Metal Gear Solid franchise. Anybody believes that Metal Gear Solid was not going to continue after that is daft.
Well, no, that's totally different, though, Travis. He actually said
If he said anything, he said that would be his last Metal Gear Solid game. If he said anything. But there was going to be more Metal Gear Solid. But he also said it was going to be Snake's final story as well. But that being said, Kojima needs to follow up with that. If he brings Solid Snake back, that's the missed opportunity. That entire legacy of that game is done. It's destroyed and crumbled. They have to follow up with that. And that's the important thing with BioWare. They need to follow up with that. And that's why, you know, I say it's what I feel, but it's more or less wishful thinking. I really hope that BioWare had a plan of what they're going to do with this ending all along. And I have faith that they can do it correctly. I just don't know what the hell they're going to do. So I feel that when they said, okay, we're doing something about the ending, like I said, I think that they have something planned, but I think they're placating the fans that are complaining so they can at least shut them up and let them think, hey, we won, we're never going to do something regardless. I really think that's what's going on and everything. But I see, like I said, aside from the campy stuff, I thought Metal Gear Solid 4 was just very, very good. I thought the ending was fantastic. So,
I think my only problem with it was the wedding and the fact that Snake didn't die.
Yeah. That's a lot. I think the same thing with Halo. They copped out in Halo 3 as well.
Yeah.
Should have killed off the chief, but then at the end of the credits, if you're on Legendary, he's like, oh no, he's still alive. And obviously, 4 is announced and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things, man. You just... Microsoft's not going to do that, man. It's like, I think Kojima is more open to be a little more ballsy and killing off and like killing off or at least ending Solid Snake in some way. Even though he didn't kill him off, I feel that, you know, if he can finish Solid Snake and never do anything else with him again, boom, perfect. So
yeah. Well, hey, it's a good example either way, whether you disagree or agree with the ending.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I'm going to have to tag that with Metal Gear Solid 4 spoilers or something.
Well, right. Yeah, people should expect it. Maybe. Hopefully.
All right, do we got anything else? I hear we have a VM.
We do have one of those.
All right.
Hit it.
Hey, guys. Fucking hell.
Hello, buddy.
Sorry. It's been a while, but I've been busy. Anyway, I just got this thing for you, the question of the week here. So the game endings, they were Enslaved. See that straight up. I love that game so much. I thought it was great. I thought it looked awesome. Played fine. All the shit. I mean, kicking up was pretty hot. Even the end boss fight was fine. It was a good fight. But then had the little ending movie, and it was so bullshit, and it has completely ruined the game for me. I mean, I can't even think of the game without thinking of the ending. Even if they changed it, it's like that whole once you've seen it, you can't unsee it bullshit, yeah, because it just fucked up that entire thought for me. Yeah? It's unfixable. It's gone from, oh my god, I love this game, to fucking I hate this game. All because of that little video. And yeah, that's about it. All I can think of. Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Fluffy.
Thank you, Fluffy. Okay, so Enslaved, I will say this. That ending did not make any sense to me.
No, not whatsoever.
It did not make any sense to me. It didn't have any effect on me negatively or positively for that game, because I was just like, what just happened? So, yeah. I mean, I can see someone having that effect on someone, but it didn't have that effect on me because I just didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
Right.
So it was just crazy, weird shit.
Well, I mean, what was going on? I mean, it was just, it was kind of evident because they were just gathering. What was happening was kind of evident and everything. But like I say, it just ended like, this is what's going on, and boom, goodbye.
Yeah.
That was it.
And they had a lot of video of what's his name. And that's,
what's his name?
Andy Serkis.
To have him as an
actual... Oh, that's right. They did have that.
To have him as an actual character, like a full-motion video character in the game, that was kind of odd.
It was a little off-putting. I mean, that's what really messed me up, because it just... I took a double take every time they showed him. I'm like, why? What? So...
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was kind of off. And at the end, it was just kind of didn't make sense. It kind of went... It took a spin, and it didn't really kind of elaborate on it. It's like, all right, well, fuck, now what? And there's not going to be a sequel. That's one of the ones they did say that was not going to happen, right?
Yeah, but I think that's more of a situation of, you know...
Money?
Yeah.
Time?
Yeah. Yep.
Ninja Theory just isn't getting money, so, you know...
Yeah.
It's like they made more money off of Heavenly Sword than they did Enslaved.
That's sad.
Yeah, I know. So. Well, we'll see how DMC comes out.
That's true. DMC might change things. I'd like to see them... I would really like to see them do a second Heavenly Sword.
That would be cool.
I would like a second Enslaved more, though. I don't know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But,
I'm kind of in the middle on both. I think they're both good games.
DMC, that ending's gonna rock.
Oh, God.
All right, we got any more emails?
We do, we do. We got one from our good buddy Repeat from Down Under.
What's up?
He says, "Gents, I can't think of anything that has had an ending so terrible or good as to massively change my mind on the quality, or lack thereof, of a game, but I have plenty of examples of stupid ending or story points that do take some, that do take the game down a notch or two. Since this was inspired by the Mass Effect series, I'll start with Mass Effect 2. I didn't find the main story in Mass Effect 2 to be super great to begin with, but the scene where every squad member decides to pile onto the shuttle to go for a joyride whilst the Normandy is, while the Normandy is disabled, leaving it sitting duck, struck me as completely stupid. The other thing, that's funny because I just watched, like, Tony just finished Mass Effect 2, and I was just, like, when she was playing that part, I was like, yeah, why did they just all pile onto this thing? It's like the first time they ever, like, all went together. But yeah, that was pretty dumb. The other thing that was the baby Terminator boss fight, which is completely unnecessary and actually downplayed the Reaper threat by allowing me to kill one by shooting it in the eye with a pistol. Neither of these things ruined the game, but they just stuck out as poor story choices. What worse than having stupid endings or stupid twists in games that completely changed the gameplay mechanics for the last level? Project Silphied, which is an average space combat sim, but in this genre, it's slim picking.
For 90% of the game, average is putting it nicely.
I like the was that the Square one?
Yes, it was fucking horrible. Okay, I hated it.
Yeah. Project Silphied was a Square game?
Yeah, it was. Well, Square published it. I don't think
Square they published it.
No, I thought that was something else. It's another game that Square did. It was like a 3D shmup.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, that's not Project Silphied. Anyway, go ahead.
No.
Project Silphied is a space sim.
Yeah, it's a space sim. It is a 3D shmup, yeah. It's not a shmup, but it's a 3D space sim, yeah.
Oh, okay.
For 90% of the game, you're flying around in space, shooting missiles at tiny ships you can only see by the HUD highlighting. The final stage, however, is a boss fight where you're fighting inside a small, confined area, which completely changes how the game feels. This makes a hard fight even more frustrating, as all the skills you built up playing the rest of the game get thrown out and you need to start over and play completely different. For games that get better with the ending, the only recent example I can think of is Ghost Trick. This game was already phenomenal leading up to the ending, but how the game tied everything all together in the final chapter was just fantastic. Later, Repeat.
Thank you, Repeat.
I need to beat that game. I still have not beaten that game.
Ghost Trick?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't even gotten it.
I'm not even close to the ending.
Since we have an example of one that actually made something better, it's about time for me to mention Darksiders. Because that ending
was
awesome. And, you know, it wasn't even, they didn't even have to do much. I mean, it's not like the ending was amazingly long or anything like that.
No.
You know, it was like, maybe it was like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes or whatever. But man, the way it ended, I mean, it took, I have a feeling that part of the reason I love Darksiders so much is because of the way it ended. And it's like, I can't remember, like, not feeling as good about that game as I did while I was playing it. But, you know, I guess the point is that regardless of what you thought of this game, once you see the ending just picks it up a notch because it's really, really fantastic.
Yeah, and then that being said, that goes with, like, the thing we said, like, you can, developers just take whatever ending they want, do it, have balls, because Darksiders 2 has nothing to do with how Darksiders 1 ended.
Yeah, it really
doesn't. It won't spoil anything. It doesn't at all. So it's like, They had a kick-ass ending. Everyone was like, that's an awesome ending. And there was kind of some people questioning Darksiders 2 when it was released and what the whole story arc was going to be. But people got over it really quickly because it was a good ending to begin with. Like, eh, no big deal.
Right.
I think it's more safe to go with a ending that's more kind of like shocking, kick-ass than to kind of play it safe and have to try to follow that up realistically. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that, like, in a situation like Darksiders, they didn't consider what they were doing with two when they were doing the ending for one. And I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Don't worry what's going to happen in the future.
Just
make a kick-ass ending now, here and now.
Exactly.
And do it.
Yeah.
Cause you know what? It's going to be easier for you to move to a different story later than it is to fuck this one up.
Right.
Yeah. Cause then if you're just looking forward, we don't really have a good, like, blueprint, then you're going to be thinking we're doing the sequel. Fuck, well, we ended the game this way, so we have to build it around that.
Right.
Whereas this just closed up the story arc from the first game, left it on a kind of, like, cool cliffhanger that was totally kick-ass, and still, they just, you know, did whatever the hell they wanted to for number two.
Right.
And the cool thing about that is, I mean, I haven't seen the ending yet, obviously, but the cool thing about the sound of that is that, you know, developers can need to understand that you can make a, I mean, even if it's short, like, I know it's not like terribly, terribly short, but it's not long by any stretch of the imagination. But like, you know, Darksiders proves it that, you know, you can have a shorter ending, but just, you know, with a couple of key right decisions when you're deciding how this game's going to end, if you make it kick ass, you can make a short kick ass ending. Mm-hmm. You know, we see them, you know, quite regularly.
Regularly? That's right. That is one of your words, isn't it? We had that.
No,
discussion.
It's not one of my words.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing.
No, it is now.
And it, but it, it, that's, it goes to show that you can have a really kick-ass ending, but still not have it be a long one. So, I mean, it's, we need to see more of that.
You Travis, know? You need to YouTube the Darksiders ending.
I don't want to. I was actually talking about it, I think, on an email thread 2 days ago. I want to give that game another second try.
Another second try?
Another second
try.
So,
like, is that a third try or a fourth try?
A third try. It is technically my third try. Right. But I do want to give it another shot because I do feel that I could.
How far did you get in the, in, how far did you get?
I beat the big, after the first dungeon, the big spider boss.
So you did the main dungeon.
The big spider boss or the giant bat?
The bat.
That's the bat. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, gotcha. I was
going to
say.
If you got to the bat and you still weren't happy with it,
then
you
probably
may be a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that I wasn't happy with it there.
You just hate fun. I know.
I wasn't compelled to go any further, but it also had a lot to do with the fact that I wanted to play other games as well.
Yeah.
But it's actually at times running kind
of
short.
Well, it's kind
too,
of a trend
like,
right
we're
now.
Almost,
so.
Yeah, well, the thing is though, we're like on the cusp. Like it's almost Witcher 2 time.
That's true.
So
when does Witcher 2 hit?
The 9th?
End of April. Is it April 9th?
Are you serious?
Holy shit.
So, it's 6th or 9th. One of those. It's either 6 or 9.
I need to get through Mass Effect 3 quick.
Yes, you do.
For my second playthrough.
Because Witcher 2 is happening.
Yeah. When Witcher 2 comes out, and once you start playing it, I'm going to start playing it on PC so we can chat about it.
Nice. Okay.
Good idea. That's all the emails.
There's one more. We got one more.
Uno Mas, Sean Recupido chimes in. He says, some games ending have been ruined for me because they get unnecessarily difficult at the end. It just pisses me off when you're playing a game that makes you feel like a badass and breezing through it. When they throw everything at you in the end, I understand that the end should be slightly more difficult than the rest, just to raise your heart rate, but not to the point of tossing the controller across the room. As far as the storyline ending to the game, it has never ruined a great game, but it has definitely taken games that could have been 10s to 9s or 8s. I hate it when a movie that is engrossing has an anticlimactic ending. A lot of movies could go from very good to masterpieces if they would just learn to master the ending. The same can be said about video games.
Now,
yeah.
I will say this. He said, let me find the what he actually says. It pisses me off when you are playing a game and it makes you feel like a badass and breezing through, and then they throw everything at you at the end. Yeah, Mass Effect 3 does that.
It does it pretty harshly.
It does it pretty good.
Like, hey man, you remember that time they threw like two brutes at you at one time? Yeah, how about the end when I throw four at you?
And you got through the four brutes. Okay, how about two banshees and a bunch of other shit? You know,
that end is pretty brutal.
It,
but
it is pretty
to me, I enjoy that more than the Terminator boss fight in Mass Effect 2. To me, that was an awesome boss fight.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
To me, that was a cool boss.
I don't like that mantra of like having to have it be hard at the end of a game. I don't like that. When it's a sudden ramp up.
See, I guess I can see what Travis is saying because the end of Mass Effect 3, you are fighting, you're fighting normal enemies as opposed to, you know, one big giant boss.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm speaking in general, not just in regards to Mass Effect 3. Like,
yeah,
I'm just saying it's
all relative.
Why have a difficulty spike at the end of the game where, like, to me, a good game is, it's ramping up the difficulty subtly throughout the game, so at the end you are really good at it, but to me, just making the end hard for the sake of making it hard is, I can't say bad game design because a lot of games do it, it's just annoying to me.
Yeah.
Well, like, fucking
well, it was,
hell,
it was
like, really?
Fitting in Mass Effect sense because of the fact that not only is the end
what
of the
you're
game,
doing,
it's the end of the series, so it makes sense.
Well,
why.
I will also say that because of what is actually happening within the game at the time that this happens, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, they, yeah, again, I'm not just saying Mass Effect, I'm saying, like,
oh, no,
a bunch
I
of
understand,
other shit.
I understand.
Like, Bayonetta threw a bunch of fucking boss battles at the end of that game.
Yeah,
like,
that's
are you
true.
Fucking for real?
That's
like,
true.
This is, there's no point in it, like, it's not.
See, at least in like Mass Effect, you can say, well, you know, the entire game kind of levels with you, so they have to have an even playing field throughout the game,
right.
Yeah. Until you get closer to
the
end.
Until that point.
So at least you have that. But Bayonetta is a level-driven game. You know, it's like, yeah, that's true.
Or like Repeat said in the email before that, when he mentioned the whole Sylph, Project Sylphie, changing up the gameplay at the end.
That would piss me off.
Do you guys play Lost Planet?
I did play Lost Planet, yeah.
Did you beat it?
I did.
The end, how all of a sudden you're in a space mech battle?
Yeah, that was a little annoying.
The fuck? Now it's like Zone of the Enders, but you're not...
Zone of the Enders with horrible controls!
Yeah, exactly, and it was like, okay, I'm pretty decent at the game, but now I'm introduced to this totally different play style.
Exactly, yeah.
And it just frustrated the hell out of me.
And
like,
Lost Planet was a fantastic game, I thought.
I really liked it.
I loved the first one, and I enjoyed that thoroughly until I got to that last battle, and then it was like, oh god, I didn't even think about that. Good, thank you for reminding me about that, because that's a very good example.
Wouldn't have Repeat didn't write that. I was like, fuck, I remember that fucking, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, one other game that, since we kind of mentioned it before, one other game that does that is the original Kid Icarus does that. Because the entire game, I know, not many people have beaten it, but the entire game, you're doing, you know, you've got the, you know, jumping, shooting an arrow, whatever, and it's very basic. Mm-hmm. At the end, you get all of the equipment that Pit needs to turn into this badass angel, and you are straight up flying through this basically a shmup where you're shooting laser arrows at everything and just destroying everything. So that's where they actually change it up for the better. So, I mean, as long as you do it right, I think it's okay, but, you know, I guess the thing about Kid Icarus is that most people don't like everything leading up to that, and then with things like Lost Planet and obviously Project Silphied, you know, everything, you get used to how this game plays, and all of a sudden they switch it around and screws you up.
Fighting games, man. You get to the last boss in a fighting
game. Oh, fuck that
and
shit.
It's just, it breaks the, like, okay, that's my big thing. I guess it breaks the rules of the game that you're used to for, like, well, of course, you're not playing a fighting game for 12 hours to get to the boss. It's more like 15 minutes.
Right.
But for any game, it's like, you're used to the confines of the game, what the rules and regulations of this game, like, what your limitations are, and then all of a sudden the end boss or the end level just totally mind fucks you and just does shit that you've just never seen before and just break the rules of the game.
What was the game that Jason and I talked about on the show? It was relatively recent, but it was a PS2 game. It was like Neo Geo Coliseum or something like that.
Okay.
And oh my, the last boss was so fucking ridiculous that after you died once, the next time you played him, after you continued, they would give him half life. And if you died again, they would give him 1/4 life. You know, it's like, there's something fundamentally wrong when you have to do that to get people to beat the game, to beat the final boss. You know, it's like, end bosses on fighting games are always the worst. They're always the worst.
Oh, they're terrible. They're cheap as shit. You gotta find a way to break the game to beat them in most cases.
Right.
But hey.
Cool.
Jason says he loves you guys, by the way.
Hey, Jason.
Love you, Jason. That's all I have. So you guys have anything to add?
No, I just the only thing I have to add is I'm happy when I get a good ending for a video game, but I'm not disappointed when I get a bad ending. I'll just be like, well, that sucked, but then I'm just like, the game was still awesome.
Let's play some Street Fighter.
Yeah. I guess the big thing that I want people to realize is that just because the ending didn't meet your expectations doesn't mean you can't enjoy the journey to get there.
Yeah.
You know, people are complaining that the ending to Mass Effect 3, which I personally have no problem with. I thought it was fine. Have ruined their experience for Mass Effect. How can you ruin, you know, 100-something hours of gameplay with just that ending? I mean, there's so much more to Mass Effect than that ending, and I think that it's a little ridiculous that how the extremity that people are bringing this to.
Right.
So, you know.
I can't say this by reading stuff. At first I was totally poo. I was like, oh, come on, fuck off. Just let them into how they end it. But apparently, and without spoiling anything, I don't even want you guys to comment on this, but for what I'm getting from a lot of, like, comments and, like, articles and shit online is that, the big issue is that a lot of your big time choices do not come into play at the end at all. And that I can kind of see being like, well, that kind of sucks.
But they come into play throughout the game.
Oh yeah,
and
totally.
That's the thing. Yeah, a lot of the storylines finalize during the journey itself. And that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, totally. Like I said, I haven't beaten it. I have no idea. I'm just going by.
Right.
What I'm reading's. But I think that even more or less the choice you make in three, not from one to two to whatever. Right. I mean, even two, like your decisions had a big impact on the ending of that game. In fact, a huge impact
massive
of the ending of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Massive. Whereas this, I'm getting the opposite, where it's like, yeah, it has an effect on the overall story arc, but the ending, not so much.
Right.
What your personal choices are.
So you don't have any games in particular. So even though you say that, that you don't really feel let down at the experience of a game, like it doesn't bring down the experience of a game with the bad. There's got to be something that just like, you played
nothing.
And it was like, really?
No, Mass Effect 2, I mean, not Mass Effect 2, sorry, Halo 2, but Halo 2 I didn't think was that great of a game to begin with, so I don't think the ending really hurt that game for me. I was just kind of like, bad ending. But no, I can't think of anything that was like, man, I'm really loving this game, I'm loving it, oh man, I'm beaten, here comes the ending, there's the credits end. You know, fuck this game. I don't like this game anymore. I honestly can't think of like anything really.
Yeah. Like,
Double Dragon? No, that was an awesome ending. What are we talking about?
Yeah. I'm trying to think for me personally. The one glaring one I know that it didn't like make the game necessarily worse for me, but it did make me feel that I put all this work, I put hours and hours and hours into this game to get this a 1/60-second. Anime cutscene that doesn't do anything for the storyline. Xenogears. Like Xenogears, I put a countless amount of hours in for a game that is so story driven and so story heavy. Like you literally get a 60-second cutscene of your main character landing in his mech and then his friends staring at him on a cliff. Saying
like,
hey,
good job, bro.
You made it, you're alive.
Good job, bro.
That whole world-saving thing? Thumbs up. Good job. I mean, it was just like, I was like, seriously?
That's kind
of
a bitch, because that's a cinematic game.
It is a very big
cinematic
game.
The definition. Yeah, if you played something like that, or Final Fantasy, or something like that, I'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, there is actually one game that I've mentioned before on the show this happened, but I'll mention it again just in case people didn't listen to that episode, but the Contra game for PS2. Can't remember what the name of it was.
Shattered
Soldier. Shattered Soldier. Only because we played it on normal, it took me and a buddy, like there's like five of us actually, we're all taking turns, especially on the last boss, it was a fucking bitch to beat. And the ending was, thank you for beating Contra Shattered Soldier on normal. Please try again on a harder difficulty to get the actual ending. And I was like,
fuck you.
That.
Do you remember when games used to do that? Like if you drop it on easy,
you
cannot get that final ending?
Yeah. That pissed me off.
That was the worst.
That was a thing where I was like, I'm never playing this game again.
To this day, I still fear putting a game on easy just to breeze through it.
Just in case.
And just in case I don't get the final ending. I to this day, when games did that, it has scarred me for life. I will forever do that.
And believe it.
Like, fuck, I want to play through this game, but I got to play on normal.
I'm kind of the same way. Not just with endings, just with like, I feel like if I'm putting something on easy just to breeze through it, just to be like, I just want to see the storyline, I'm going to miss something cool. Like, because it's not going to be in.
And it's because of the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis era.
It totally is. Yeah.
They ruined everything.
That's it. That's
all right.
My final
Christopher.
Thought.
Yes, I am wrapped up, so I'm good.
That's it.
All right.
Okay, real quick. Okay, we're ending on a. I feel this was kind of like a downer, like feature. I feel like we're just like
games. They suck. The endings were terrible and everything.
Journey has an awesome ending. It was great.
Journey does have a pretty awesome ending. But real offshoot question. Just for games last year, was there a game that came out last year that just, you know, you liked the game, but the ending just really, like, wow, the ending was great. I like this game even more. You kind of touched on Darksiders from a couple of years ago, but was there anything that's, like, in the last year that was like, man, that game was good, but that ending really pumped me up? And I'll go ahead and give you mine. It was a game that I was already in love with, and then the ending, to me, just made me so much more excited, and it was Shadows of the Damned. It's actually probably my most favorite ending of the entire year last year. Shadows of the Damned had a fantastic ending. Because it's like Darksiders, it settled that storyline, but on top of that, it also got you ready for a possible next one, which apparently is kind of being rumored to happen, even though that game sold like crap. So Shadows of the Damned was a big one. So what was something that like, really picked you up?
I will say that last year, probably one of the endings, and in reality, it's two different endings, is, Infamous 2.
Oh.
I thought.
Actually, like, that did have a good ending.
The way that they actually separated the way that, like, I guess my point of saying this is like things like let's bring up Mass Effect again, because Mass Effect has the Paragon and the Renegade options, and just like you have the good and evil options in Infamous, but at the end of the game, whether you choose to do Renegade or Paragon options, the ending is pretty much the same. That was not the case with Infamous. They were so completely different.
Two completely different.
It made it so that they could literally make two different games for Infamous 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a thing where the execution I thought of that game at the end was terrible, but the actual endings for each was okay.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that like the final sequence was kind of meh, but the actual ending was pretty fantastic.
Once you made those decisions, because your decisions didn't mean dick until the end, and then you're like, oh, now I can totally sway one way or the other. But what actually happened after that, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Especially on the evil end, especially when there's a certain thing that happens.
Yeah,
if you go evil way, and I was like, I don't want to do this, but
I'll
you
be
have
honest
to.
With you, with like, each fuck. Ending though, I just don't see, each ending. I just don't see how a Infamous 3 is possible, because no matter what ending happens, like the basic layout they have for Infamous 1 and 2, like, the normal walk around a city, there's pedestrians running around and everything, and you gotta, revive people or hurt them, whatever the case may be. They have to make a completely different game, no matter what ending they go with.
Didn't we talk about this before?
We did, yeah. Yeah, we did. I just don't see how they can do it, Infamous 3.
I guess you just don't remember what me and Chris said, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we said, personally, but,
Totally possible. For one, not so much the other one. Yeah, for one of the endings, I'll say it'd be pretty hard. One of them is totally easily they can make a sequel.
Right. So, I just wanted to, end on a happier note. Endings we liked, so.
There you go.
But that's it.
Cool. Yeah. All right, let's do some new releases.
Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit. Pretty cool ending.
So we still don't have a voicemail from Repeat, but he did send me an email.
Yes!
So, Repeat says...
You have to do it in an Australian accent, though.
No, I can't do that. It would just be horrible. I'm better off not doing it, trust me. Chaps, sorry for this not being a voicemail, but I've been having internet problems all week. He says the big release for next week is, strangely enough, a Wii game, specifically Xenoblade Chronicles. Other than that, there is Devil May Cry HD Collection for PS3 and 360, Fallout 3 and Oblivion Double Pack for 360, and I Am Alive is getting a PSN release. It is not really a game, but 3DS is getting Colors 3D on the eShop, which is a drawing program.
Colors!
Chris is going to get that one.
He can only get to level 3, though, and he's kind of screwed.
Once they start throwing purple in the mix, I'm done. Fuckers. Okay,
so we should play Draw Something. I'm going to draw everything in purple.
I'm playing Draw Something, actually.
Are you nice?
Yeah. I'm actually, Lisa and I are on a streak of like 20 or something like that, so. Let's see. Drawing program started life as a homebrew application on the DS. Also in the not a game category is Kinect Star Wars is finally being released.
good for those guys.
Terrible.
Putting out a game. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Good not game. Good job. Let's see. Anything else that I need to fill in? PS3 is also getting Pro Angular Moves. I don't know what that is. I really don't care either. And, that's pretty much it. Titanic Mystery for the Wii. I don't think anybody gives a shit about that. So
hey, it's the 100th.
What's the mystery?
It's the 100th anniversary. Show a little respect. Okay.
You need to find the bomb and save everyone on board the ship.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Find the bomb on the Titanic.
Whoa, no. Is this an alternate reality Titanic game where there's a bomb on the ship?
I have no idea. Next.
Yeah, pick of the week.
Pick of the week, Xenoblade Chronicles.
Xenoblade. Yeah, it's gotta be. I already own it, and it's pick of the week.
What's
man.
Anything out on PSN or Xbox Live?
PSN is I Am Alive, and Xbox Live is getting Skullgirls, possibly.
Oh, okay. Dude. I don't think that's actually next week.
No?
I haven't heard a lot of
good things about Skullgirls, though.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm thinking it's not out, because I think it would be more. Then again, I've been so busy at work, I have not been on the internets at all. So.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I haven't heard anything about it.
If it is out next week, Skullgirls 100%.
Yeah, it said it had a date on it of April. What did it say? Hold on. I closed it. Sorry.
Well, it'd be like April 2nd.
April 4th?
No, 3rd? 4th? Yeah, April 4th. April 4th. Tuesday, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe Wednesday. It's actually coming out.
Maybe.
But that is your new release list.
Cool.
I would say let's do some emails, but I think we're...
Mailbag next week.
Yeah, we got mailbag next week. Do you guys want to do some Indus questions, or should we save those
for
next week?
We'll save those for next week, too. We did get quite a few this week, too, so awesome. We'll save those for next week. So, yeah, get those in, people. Next week's going to be all Indus questions, all emails, all the time.
It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, question of the week. There is none. We are doing a mailbag show. Send us your emails and Indus questions. It can be gaming-related. It can be not gaming-related. We don't care. Just send us emails, and we want to read them on the air and answer them. So to do that... Send us an email at interactivedistractions.com. I repeated myself. Email.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
They know it by now.
People know by now. Yeah. Except for me. I can't do this shit. If I have to, I'm like, what is it again?
Travis, do it.
I know when I'm not on the, when I'm not on the show, you guys have to like listen to the ending and like write shit down. Make
pretty
sure
much.
No, we don't do that.
No.
It's pretty evident by all of our running shit podcasts how they just crumble.
We just go. We just go check out the thread in VG Evo or Retroids. Which Chris will have to post because we're going to forget.
You can also send us a voicemail, and that number is 706-760-4337.
It's not lead, it's feet.
Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
Check us out on Steam, Facebook, and Google+. We are Indus Podcast, or Interactive Distractions, I should say. Sorry. Come over to Retroids. Join up with the site. Check out our forums. There's a wealth of other podcasts on the network as well that are worth checking out. So come on by and hang out with us. We'd appreciate it. That's all I've got. So you guys have anything else before we get out of here?
All good.
What I got?
Yeah, I'm good too. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review.
5 stars.
So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.